Hola, Locamores. Diosa here from Locatora Radio.
Y Mala to talk classic telenovela tropes. More like our bedtime stories growing up, no?
Sí, those dramatic switched at birth dramas or evil stepmoms hiding the fact that you're really the boss storylines still bring the gasps.
Like Fabuloso brings the passion to cleaning with 2x concentrated formula to take the drama out of any mess.
I don't know about you, but when I smell Fabuloso's remarkable lavender scent in my casa, I know it's all going to be happily ever after.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso Original. Use as directed.
I was willing to step outside to find the resource, but a lot of people want to, if they can't relate to someone or something, they don't see themselves achieving that thing. What you can do to position your child for success outside of giving them money is teaching them the value of money. I started thinking about all the things I could do that I love, that I enjoy, that I could say this is my own. Nobody can lay me off from this. Nobody can control what I do about this. And so everything I thought about came down to conversations I was having with my friends about money, about investing, about saving, about business, about how I buy. Everything just boils down to money. So let me just talk about finances, because a lot of women don't want to talk about money, or they feel like, you know, it's just a hard topic or we're bad at money. So let me talk about a topic that I talk about with my friends. And that's where Cleverable Finance was.
Welcome, y'all, that Twin Mama podcast. I'm your girl, Lauren, here, and we have a fantastic and very informative episode for you today, especially for any parents or twin parents, like navigating the road of what it means to pay for twins. I don't know how easier to say that. But one of the most jarring things, I think, when we realized we were having two is just the idea of how are we going to afford to pay for two kids. Kids are expensive, as we all know. At the time of this recording, if I go out to get grapes, they are like $12 and they ain't even wine yet. Like, stuff is expensive, y'all. So today I have an amazing special guest,
Bola Shokumbi.
Bola is also a twin parent, so she gets it. She's a certified financial education instructor and finance expert who has written not one, but four best-selling books, including Choosing to Prosper and the Clever Girl Finance series. She's the founder of Clever Girl Finance, one of the largest personal finance platforms for women in the U.S., and was even honored with the 2021 Financial Education Instructor of the Year Award. Bola's work has been featured everywhere from Times and Forbes to Good Morning America, making her the go-to expert on all financial wisdom. And today she shares so many valuable tips, practical tips that you can take with you to have some sort of control in your finances of what it is to be a parent, a twin parent, and maybe you might not even have any kids, and she drops some knowledge in this episode. So I hope y'all find it as informative as I did. I've said this in many reels, but if you are a twin parent, do not buy two of everything in the beginning. Don't go out buying two snooze, two dog attacks, two things that your kids will be using for maybe a month or so, or a few months, because you're going to have to save your money for two college tuitions, two daycares, two all the things. So this episode really kind of lays out some practical steps and tips of how to move forward and how to take control of the finances of your life as a twin parent. Let's get into it.
Welcome, everyone, to That Twin Mama podcast. I am so excited for our guest today. We got Bola. Hey, girl, twin mom. Literally financial goals. I know you guys have just heard her actual bio of all the things that she's done, but welcome, sis. Thank you for being on today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be chatting with you, Lauren.
Of course. And I just found out, I had been a fan of Bola's prior to finding out that she was a twin mom. But then when I found out she was a twin mom, I was like, oh, of course she's the GOAT. Because, I mean, like, we built different. We got like a superpower as twin parents, I swear.
I know.
It's just how it is. So I like every guest to come on, and again, my listeners have gotten like your formal intro and bio, but I also like to ask my guests like who they are today. Like, who is Bola in your own words? Nothing, you know, whatever you want to go with that. But who is Bola?
So, well, I'm a mom. You know that I'm a twin mom. Yes. I have 11-year-old twins. I am married. I am, what is it that people don't really know about me? I'm a lefty. I speak German.
Nice. You know what's interesting is that I read, I love all these fun facts. You know, I've heard that twins were like 80% more likely for one of them to have to be a lefty. There's something with twins and left-handedness,
which I don't know what it is. Right-handed.
Both of yours, so are mine, but I did read somewhere that there is a higher percent chance for a twin to be left-handed, or one of them to be, if they're identical, which is interesting. You got all the fun, you know.
I have to look this up. Yeah, so what else about me? I am a faux extrovert, which means I am really introverted. I like to be home.
Oh.
I like myself. I like my own company.
Yes. It's interesting you say that. So faux extra. I love that. I haven't heard that before. I'm going to coin that.
I know how to put it together to be outside. I can, but then I have to go back and I have to hibernate to recover.
Yes.
And then final thing about me, as a twin mom, I come from a family of a lot of twins. So my dad is a twin. My grandmother had three sets of twins. My mom's brother and sister both have two sets of twins.
What?
And all the twins in my family are all fraternal and they're all boy-girl.
Really? That is fascinating.
And I have boy-girl twins.
What y'all be eating over there? I swear, I love it. Yeah. That is so wild. Where's your family from? I've seen, like, I've heard that different places have like a higher, like, twin thing.
Yeah.
Is that something like that runs in, and obviously runs in your family, but does it run in like your heritage or do you know?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a quick fun story. So my dad, both of my parents from Nigeria, they're different cultures, but they're not that far away from each other geographically, like a 3-hour difference.
Yeah.
And my dad is from a town that has one of the highest occurring twin births in the world.
I think I saw a video about this in Nigeria.
Towns in southern Nigeria. So everybody and their mama is a twin. And so my aunt is a she's a midwife. Well, she was a midwife. She's late now.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I would ask her questions about delivering baby. She's like, oh yeah, twins, you know, whatever. But you know what was interesting in my career? Triplets. Now that was something. I was like, wow.
Just saying, like, oh, you got a twin. I ain't nothing.
Try triplets. She's like, now triplets.
That's an accomplishment. That is wild and very cool. Like, people ask me all the time if twins run in my family. And to be honest, I didn't know they did until we became pregnant with twins. Mm-hmm. And then I asked my dad, I was like, do we have other twins in the family? Because apparently it does carry through the woman. Like, people think it's a male trait, but it's actually the woman's eggs that determine it. And a lot of times that, if it's fraternal, are the only ones that are genetic. Identicals are apparently just supposed to be.
Yeah.
But then my dad was like, oh, yeah, we have a couple third cousins on this side that, and then this cousin, like, I just didn't know, but there was distant cousins in my dad's side of the family, which is where it would come down. We're fraternal. So here we go.
No identical twins in my family history, back the generations that we know of, all fraternal, all boy, girl.
Oh,
my mom
gosh.
Was like, listen, I've helped you with these two babies. If you get pregnant again, you are on your own.
You are on your-
call me. Don't contact me.
Right? Now you got a puppy. It's so funny. Wow, that's so funny. A quick question, because I always think about this with boy-girl twins. And on my page, we talk a lot about all the ridiculous and wild and funny, sometimes offensive comments that twin parents get. As a boy-girl twin mom, do you get a lot of people asking you if they're identical?
Yes. And I try, I give grace, because I realize a lot of people don't realize that a boy and a girl can never be identical.
Right. One has a penis, literally.
Like,
yes.
They're two different genders. That automatically disqualifies the identical.
Right.
So, okay. But you don't know. Okay.
Yes. I always find it funny, because I'm like, boy-girl twin parents must have a lot of grace, because that question to me, but there's so many people who just don't understand anything about twins.
Yes. But offensive comments, when I was coming out of the hospital, I was terrified, because as I was leaving, you know, you get wheeled out on the wheelchair. People were like, oh my God, you're never going to sleep again. Oh my God, double trouble. Oh my God, good luck with that.
Yes. Oh girl, the double trouble.
Oh my God, what happened? What did I do?
It's so wild.
And this
it's
is so when I was coming, going through the hospital with the two babies.
You were literally healing.
Who does that?
It's wild. I feel like people get a different form of audacity when it comes to approaching twin parents with questions and comments. I'm like, y'all wouldn't just approach a normal person on the street with, like, let's say they had two singletons, but some people will come up to me like, who's the evil twin? Who's your favorite? I'm like, they're standing right here, first of all. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, people don't come up to people like me and my brother are not twins, but they wouldn't be like, who's your evil child, to my mom. It's just like something about having twins. People are like, I'm just going to say whatever I feel like saying. Are they natural? No, all the things.
I started shutting them down quickly. I remember traveling once with my twins, and my twins have always had devices, but with strict rules around them. So for example, now they cannot use their iPads Monday through Friday. They can only use it on the weekends. When they travel at the airport, they have their iPads. I remember we're going through the airport, and then some lady sees them on their iPads, and she's like, what a shame.
Girl.
And I was like, say that again. She's like, what a shame.
Good
I'm like,
for you.
Mind your business. She's like,
good
what do
for
you mean?
You.
Your babies are on device. I'm like, mind your
damn business.
Girl, shame on you. What you. A shame exactly. are you?
You.
What a shame you are.
You are. I'm sorry you are here right
you know
now.
Nothing Go about away. Me. Or my parenting. Talk about what a shame. You out of your mind?
Good for you. I need to get, because I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm if that happened, I probably would say something. I give people a lot of grace when they don't mean it, the intention's not ill behind it, but like a what a shame. Girl, bye. You might have to hold my earrings right quick. Like, what a shame for, I would just, good for you for saying something. Yeah. Is all I'm saying. Another comment that I feel like we get that I think would be very, like, very useful for this episode is you see twins and people are like, oh, buy one, get one free. Two for the price of one. I'm like, y'all, it was two for the price of two. What you talking about? You know what I mean?
It costs two. It costs two times as much.
It costs two times as much. And so I'm curious, like, did becoming a twin parent, I guess, did that inform your career? And we'll get more into like what everything that you do. But as far as like being a twin parent, or once you were faced that as you're a new mom, did that inform like how you start your financial journey, financial planning, a positive financial mindset? How did your journey as a mom inform mm-hmm. anything that you do now with finances and financial planning?
So my financial journey had started before I had my twins.
Okay.
So I was already on that journey, but I learned a lot with twins because it's having babies is different, right? So I was a mom that brought my babies home. I didn't know anything about, I mean, two at once. I didn't know anything about a single baby, and my babies were small. Never taken care of a baby before. You know, I didn't know anything. Yes. And so there were things that, and also we talked before we started recording, I was in a state of perpetual exhaustion. And so financially for me, it was like, we were in a good place. So I was operating in a space of convenience, right?
Yeah.
I was a mom that bought ready to pour formula.
Ooh,
That was very expensive.
Yes.
And I got to a point, I was like, well, I could actually be saving some money, because if I'm spending $1,000 a month on formula, that's how much I was spending, because my babies were, I had to, and you know, there are people who would judge you like, oh my God, I can't believe you're not breastfeeding. You should be breastfeeding. Mother's milk is best. I got all of that. And of I chose to stop breastfeeding because I couldn't sustain it, because I had a really high risk, difficult pregnancy. I met none of my weight gain goals for the pregnancy. Yeah. In fact, I lost 12 pounds during the pregnancy, emergency C-section, horrific experience. And they came out, I was so haggard, and I was pumping 80 ounces a day. And I couldn't breastfeed because one wouldn't latch. I couldn't tell how much who was feeding on what. So it was pumping. And my bones were like,
literally.
My doctor was like, girl, you got to stop. She's like, go and buy Similac.
Yeah, you're
gonna
do,
you're going to be sick. And you cannot be able to mother these babies. So I switched to formula. So I started buying ready to pour. And I was spending $1,000. And because it was so hectic when you have newborns at home, you don't have time to check your bank balance. Well, I didn't. Yes. I didn't have time to sit down and do like a full financial landscape of anything until like a couple months later. And I'm like, wait a minute, $1,000. So I joined Costco for the first time.
Yeah.
The experience of joining Costco for the first time as a new mom. And I started buying the formula mix, the powder.
That
cost me $600 a month. So, but I did, I was saving $400.
But still, the cost of the thing. Exactly. Two, like, four, like, feeding, two in diapers. It's like, I feel like the cost, a lot of people just, I always say, like, save your money on, like, should I get two swings, or should I get two of these things that they'll play for a day? I'm like, girl, no. Save your money for the things they need.
Exactly.
So the two,
I have to get creative with saving at that point. And there were things like, at the time my twins were born, so I mentioned they're 11, there was that electronic bouncer that had just come up, the one that you press and it just takes them up and brings them out and takes them. And at the time, those bouncers were $1,200. Now you can get them for $200 or $300. And I was like, if I was to buy this bouncer, I have to buy two. That's $2,400. Right. I'm not doing it. So I bought the one that the baby has to bounce itself.
Then
I realized that this was not a good use of my effort, because I was so exhausted. And at night I would sit there and I would be like with my hand on one foot for an hour. And I'm like, I should just spend $2,400 because I'm putting money on formula. This makes no sense. Right. So I was kind of learning what was worth it and what wasn't. And so I kind of figured out, okay, the formula was worth saving there. The bouncer was not worth saving there, because my arms hurt, my body hurt. I was barely sleeping. Why am I here bouncing two babies on my stuff on my head? And then, you know, the diapers are what the diapers were. So I learned that you could actually return unopened boxes of diapers. I did not know that. You could return, well, at the time you could return them to Bye Bye Baby and exchange it for the next size or get a store credit. Yes.
That I did not know. Okay.
I would do that.
Yeah.
So I learned different things, and I was asking my doctor, I'm spending all this money on formula. How quickly can I switch them to 2% to regular milk. He's like, well, the guidance is 12 months, but it's not uncommon if your babies are okay, their digestive systems are okay, to switch them at 9 months, 10 months. I'm going to test it and see.
Yeah,
and
see. Here we go. Because
organic 2% is cheaper. Yeah. My babies went on 2% milk at 10 months old, and they were perfectly fine. And the doctor was fine. And he was like, remove the guilt from this, because we are in a first world country and we are living in this space of privilege. And he had trained in third world countries where mothers did not even have milk to give a baby from day one.
Yes.
And when their breast milk dried off, they were giving their babies cornmeal. And it would go through these babies' bellies and come out as diarrhea, and the babies just survived it.
Sick.
Yes. So he's like, the guilt you're feeling, let it go.
Yeah, it's a perspective, right? It's like, let it go, and we're doing the best we can. Your babies are fine.
So that's kind of, I learned like different things as I was navigating that twin, from a financial perspective, from an emotional perspective also, because I couldn't do it myself. My husband had to go back to work immediately. I hired nannies. Every nanny quit. I remember one nanny came the second day. She was like, you know, Miss Bola, I love babies. But twins, no. I can't do it.
It's a whole different world if you don't know it.
My mom had mercy on me. My mom just happens to be an infant nurse. And she was like, I can't be out there in hospitals taking care of other people's babies and knowing that my daughter is struggling here with two. One is 4 pounds. One is 5 pounds.
Yes,
her hair's struggling. So my mom came and she stayed with me for 2 years with my aunt. And those babies ran us to the ground, but they saved my mom and my aunt. They saved my life.
Oh my gosh. Because you really do need, that's the thing about twins, I think, in general, they humble you in so many different ways. Like, we're strong for sure, but they emotionally humbled me, physically humbled me, changed my financial every perspective I had. It's just like, you are outnumbered physically by two babies at the same time. If you do not have help in some way, shape, or form, shout out to my moms that don't, because I really don't see how you do it.
There were times where I was home alone with them because maybe my mom had to go to work. She moved in with us. My aunt also moved in with us, but they were still working.
Yeah.
And there were times where they had to go to work and I was home alone with the babies. And I remember one day, my twins were learning to walk. And we had a wide staircase where you couldn't just buy a standard. It had to be custom built.
Right.
We just never got around to it. Yeah. And I remember I would always keep my kids contained in one room because that's how I could manage them, the babies.
Yes.
They were like crawling stage about 8 months, because my son started walking at 9 months. But that crawling stage, he started walking at 9 months, my daughter 10 months. They were that crawling stage. And I remember I was so tired. I came into the room and I left the door open. And I see these two kids running to that door. Right outside the door is a staircase. They're crawling fast. And as I run to grab them, as they're about to roll down the steps, my foot is on the first step. And I grab them and we all roll down. And I roll down the staircase and knock my body all over the whole damn place. And I get to the end. Girl. I am bruised. I'm battered. Oh, and these two things look at me and they start laughing. And I burst out crying. I was in pain. I was emotionally destroyed. I was like, woe is me. What is this life? What is this? Why me, God?
Oh my God.
I just fell down the staircase and these babies are laughing at me.
Oh my God. And what is such a funny visual, like not funny, but like such is the life of twin parents. Like, we will be like going through the trenches, like feeling low key abused. Like, and then the twins will be.
They thought they went on a roller coaster ride. Woohoo!
Fine. And laughing at your expense. You're like, y'all, I just almost died here. And they're like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. So it's hard. It is hard. Moms that don't have help, listen, God bless you. It is not easy. It's hard. And my mom put it in context for me. She's like, you only have the experience of two babies at once.
Yeah.
She's like, for someone who just has one baby, it's just as hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. This is your first experience. You don't know anything else.
Exactly. 0-2 kids, no matter how many kids you have, is just a big transition because you're just not used to anything else. So I want to talk a little bit about, I listened on one of the podcasts I've heard you on about you during this newborn phase. And you had your own full-time job. This is when like kind of Clever Girl Finance, I guess you were like working on the side with it, going to your job, being a newborn mom, all the things. And this is when you kind of started your journey into creating this, what is now, I feel like, such an empire and helping so many, so many parents and so many people who are trying to financially plan. What is the mission behind Clever Girl Finance? What inspired you most to do this? And how do you feel about you in this journey now?
Yeah, so when I first started Clever Girl Finance, and I'll answer that question, I was working full time in corporate America, and I had two side hustles. So I was a wedding photographer, wedding and lifestyle photographer. And
Black girls would do that. Black women, we be doing all the things, like, you know what I mean? Come through. Okay.
I had an online retail business, and I was starting to wind down the online retail business because I just couldn't. I didn't have time for like all those post office runs, all those market buys to buy what you're selling was like clothing and accessories, bridal mostly. I just didn't have the capacity to manage like purchasing and stuff. And then my wedding photography, I was winding down as well because from my pregnancy and not being able to gain weight, I had chronic back issues.
Yeah. Oh my God.
When I was pregnant, I was carrying my belly with a brace. And so I was transitioning out of those two businesses, and I was also experiencing postpartum depression because I was like, huge life change.
People I did
have
too.
All these expectations. Yeah. Why are you not breastfeeding? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not sleep training?
All the things, the noise from the minions. Yes.
Death lost.
Yes.
So all these things. And I was feeling unfulfilled at work because I was just tired. Like I consider myself a high performer, and I just couldn't perform at work because I was exhausted. And people were also getting laid off. And I'm like, I'm a number here. I can get laid off. And this is a job that they don't really care about me. I'm a number here.
Yeah.
I have these two kids. What is my legacy to them? That's kind of like where my mind was going. Like, I wanted something that matters. I wanted something that they can say, mommy did this. Mommy has this. Mommy was this person. That's just where my mind was at the time. And so I started thinking about all the things I could do that I love, that I enjoy, that I could say, this is my own. Nobody can lay me off from this. Nobody can control what I do about this. And I wanted it to be impactful in the sense that it helps people, because I've always liked things that help people. So I used to have a scholarship where I'm from in Nigeria for like primary school that my dad went to, and it just furnished textbooks and things, tuition for those kids. So I wanted something like that.
Yeah.
And so everything I thought about came down to just like conversations I was having with my friends about money, about investing, about saving, about business, about how I buy stuff. Like, and there was like, well, you're always willing to help. You're always willing to talk about what you're doing, what mistakes you've made. And I was like, well, everything just boils down to money. So let me just talk about finances, because a lot of women just feel shame or embarrassment or don't want to talk about money, or they feel like, you know, it's just a hard topic or we're bad at money. So let me talk about a topic that I talk about with my friends. And that's where Clever Girl Finance was and all came from. And also, I just didn't see a lot of women that look like me. Like, my favorite finance book was Smart Women Finish Rich.
Okay.
I read that book to shreds. I read it until it started falling apart, and I bought a new one. But it was I love that book, but it was written by a white man. It was a New York Times bestseller written by a white male. And the next best thing was a white woman. And I'm like, where are all the Black women? Where are women who look like me that I can relate to? And I found that I was willing to step outside to find the resource, which is why I found the white male author, the white female author. But a lot of people want to, if they can't relate to someone or something, they don't see themselves achieving that thing. They don't aspire to that thing, right? It's like when the Obamas got into the White House, opened this whole world of like aspiration for little boys and little girls, because they could see themselves there. And so I just wanted to set the stage that there are successful women of color, there's successful Black women, Latino women out there. We just need to find them. And so the first thing I started doing with Clever Girl Finance was interviewing, for people who have followed me from the beginning, the podcast I have where I interview women, it actually used to be on the blog. I would interview women on the blog and on social media and share their stories as to how they have built wealth, how they've gone to some figures, how they have paid off debt, how they started their businesses. And so the mission of Clever Girl Finance has always been to empower women to achieve financial success on their own terms and to make women see that it is possible. And that, you know, it carries through in everything that I do. So.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And you're right, because I mean, white dudes have been talking about money since the beginning of time. Like and they all share the resources with each other, right? And they are like, with our community, I think our Black women are some of the smartest and most like whatever
we're
women.
We're so resilient. We're so we're just expected to do it all, and then we do it all.
But like, I think the access to the education part of knowing what to do, right, has been gatekeeped for a long time. Like, and now, so like having this platform, what you're doing is just so important. And I do think representation matters. And there are people that's like, I'm not going to listen to this white dude because yes, your experience might be different from them, but there's still stuff to learn. So thank you for doing this, because I think you're reaching a whole audience that needs it, that is going to take this and run with it and be able to set like wealth and generational wealth for our families. I'm thinking about today, girl, the groceries I just bought, like grapes. I'm like, I bought some grapes. They were like $10. I was like, this ain't even wine yet.
Yes, I know.
This is not even wine. Why is it so expensive? So just thinking about right now, there's like two-thirds of Americans like living paycheck to paycheck. And they might Google like, what do I do? And it's like, just save like 3 to 6 months of your paychecks. And it's just like, I can't do that. So are there any practical advice you would give the listeners who are just really struggling right now, especially in the state that the U.S. is currently in?
It is expensive. I rented a grocery store recently and I took a picture of my cart and I sent it to my husband. I was like, this costs $72. And it was like three things at the corner of the cart.
Some nice organic snack.
I was like, and there was no meat, mind you.
Big ticket
item. There was no meat. There was no fish. There was
no dairy. It was a couple of good snacks.
Like cart, and it got, you know. And for me, I could laugh about that because I can afford that. For some people, that's hard because they're feeding children. It's hard to put food on the table. And so I would, you know, you hear say the 3 to 6 months, and I just want to give context, right?
Yes. Explain that. Yes.
3 to 6 months, it's a stretch for most people. People don't have 3 to 6 months sitting around to save, but the idea is to build up to it. And when you're thinking about 3 to 6 months, I'll break it down in this way. Start with a basic emergency savings fund, right? So get to that first $1,000, that first $1,500. That should be the goal. Forget about 3 to 6 months.
Can you pause? Because I had a question, like a Q&A. They were asking, what is an emergency fund?
Yes.
They weren't even sure. So like, let's explain for our listeners who may not
know
what that means.
And I'll explain an emergency fund versus a sinking fund, because sometimes they're confused. So emergency fund is there to cover when life happens, the unexpected, the things you did not plan to pay for. It just happened. And now you need money to cover it. Hmm. Sinking fund is coming for money you know you need to have that's coming up for an expense. For example, you know you're going to the dentist next month. You know your car needs an oil change in 2 weeks. You know your kid has a field trip coming up in a month. That's a sinking fund. It's money you're putting aside because you know that bill. It's not your regular recurring budgeting bill. It's not like your rent, your light bill, your phone bill.
Yeah.
This is a one-time bill that you know it's coming up next month, next week, in 2 months. So that's your sinking fund. You're putting money to be prepared for that one-time bill. Emergency fund is that bill that just comes out of nowhere. You have to have an extraction. Your kid has to go to the ER unexpectedly. You have a big out-of-pocket expense. It's that flat tire. Yeah. You have to go repair it now. Get a new tire.
Yeah.
That's
emergency. Your house floods. People are raining it. Yes.
So I'll break this down in detail to help you get context, right? You hear the 3 to 6 months, but let me give you context about it. If you are employed right now, you're in a fortunate position because you have money coming in. So your first priority is to put aside your basic emergency fund, which I would say is anywhere between $500 to $1,500. Let's average it at $1,000. And this basic emergency fund can cover basic emergencies. It can pay a light bill. It can buy an emergency plane ticket. It can pay for a flat tire. It can pay for a basic repair. It can pay for emergency copay at the ER. It can pay for basic expenses that can just come in and throw you off, right? And that's fine. Once you have that $1,000, between $500 and $1,500 in place, average $1,000, that's your basic emergency fund so that when life throws you small surprises, you have that money to tap into without having to go into your credit card, without having to go into your savings or retirement savings, without having to borrow, et cetera. That $1,000, have that there. Your next goal then is to get to your 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. 3 months if you are in a dual income household where you and your partner are both employed. This is because the chances that you and your partner will be unemployed for the same amount of time are lower, right? So 3 months is a good starting point. If you are single, you want to aim for 6 months because it's your sole income. You're going to need to cover for that 6 months. And that 3 to 6 months needs to cover your core essentials. So we're trimming the fat off of your regular budget. It needs to be able to pay for your housing, your transportation, your food, your core utilities, water, electricity, internet, any medicine your household needs. So the core essentials, everything else can go on pause. Your hair done, your nails done, eating out, blah, 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 blah. All those things are all nice to have. They're not survival mode expenses. We did it in the pandemic. We can do it again. We didn't get our hair done. We didn't buy coffee. We didn't go to Starbucks. We didn't go to
nail shop.
We didn't do none of that. And so it's okay. True. We know how to survive. People think they don't know how to do it, but we did it. We just did it. Okay. We can't do it. So you trim the fat and that's what you want to focus on. Bala, it still sounds like a lot of money. 3 months of my living expenses, including my mortgage, including my rent, sounds like a lot. So this is what you do. You take that 3 months and you break it down into chunks and you build it into your budget. So let's say 3 months of your living expenses or 6 months of your living expenses is $10,000, right? You say, okay, over the next year, I'm employed. I'm going to save $833 over the next 1 year. That will get me to $10,000. You take that $833, you build it into your budget. Every time you get paid, you put money, $400 every 2 weeks, into your emergency savings account. So that by the time you get to the end of 12 months, you have your $10,000 for emergencies put aside for your 3 months or your 6 months. Well, what if a big emergency happens and I have to use the money? That is what it's there for.
Yeah.
Tap into it, you use it. Once the emergency has gone by, you start to replenish it based on the plan you have in your budget. So there's a lot of guilt associated to using your emergency fund, but that's what it's there for. It's there so that you don't have to use your retirement savings, your credit card, your borrow money, et cetera.
Yeah.
So you tap into it and you start to replenish it. So you may only get to saving it halfway and you have to use it for an emergency. That is what it's there for. If you don't have to use it, add on to it. So you may get to the point where you fully fund 3 months, you fully fund 6 months. Okay, the economy is not that great. Maybe your personal economy is not that great. Maybe you have dependents. You want to have more set aside in cash, right? You may decide, you know what? I want to have 12 months covered. I would say you don't really want to have more than 12 months of emergency money sitting around.
Okay.
Because the chances that you're going to be out of a job for a year.
A year, yeah.
Right? And I will challenge you to think creatively. The chances that you're out of a job for 6 months, are you exploring your options? This is a challenge.
Yeah.
You may have a degree, an MBA, master's degree, and whatever. Don't get caught up when times are tough in only finding a job in that space.
Yes.
Do what you need to do to keep your finances afloat and to put food on the table. So when I graduated from college, I had a bachelor of science in computer science. I had a minor in business. I had a certification in web development. I had all these fancy things. And I was trying to find a job as soon as possible because I just wanted to start making money, help my mom, stop being a burden with her because she had helped me with college, all of that.
Yes.
And I couldn't find a job right away. And so I got a job at CVS and I worked minimum wage in the photo department for about 4 to 6 months until I got my first corporate job.
Yeah. Wow.
I was a girl in CVS, even though I had a college degree and I was getting paid minimum wage.
Yep.
I could have sat at home and be like, well, you know what, mom?
Right.
I can find a job. So you're going to feed me.
Right. Like, where's my handout?
No, that's and I was so lucky that I had a mom, right?
Yes.
Because I could stay in. Sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone and do what you need to do. So if you cannot find a job right now, right, you have all these degrees, maybe there's a side hustle you can do. Maybe there's a part-time job you can pick up. And I just shared this on a podcast I recorded. I was working, when I worked in corporate America, I was on a meeting with a VP, big time. He made multi-six figures. And he made a comment that I have to end the meeting soon because I have to go to my second job at Home Depot. And somebody cracked a joke like, Home Depot, what are you trying to do? Pay off your mortgage? And he's like, yes, I'm trying to pay off my mortgage quickly. That is why I have a second job as a manager at Home Depot.
Don't let your ego, like, yes, right?
It's temporary, but
don't
get caught up in, oh my God, I can't find a job at 6 months as a neurosurgeon, as an engineer of whatever, aerodynamics, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What else have you done?
This is so powerful and such a good point to make too. And I think also going back to even thinking about having a buildup of 3-6 months of expensive, it's interesting. I didn't become an entrepreneur, a creator until the company I worked for. I worked in Teach for America, this organization. I was a higher up and it was time for us to switch roles. And technically my role was eliminated and they were going to put me in a different management position. Mm-hmm. But I'd been there now, had like 10 years. And so I was like, wait, can I see the severance package? Like, well, we just want to move you over here. I was like, let me just see it. This time I was like, just starting to create content for the twins, starting to make a little momentum. And so it was about a 7 month period of like paid leave, basically, right? In that, having that like cushion, I was able to make decisions about what I wanted to do. And then my career looked totally different because I had that, you know what I mean? So like, even if you should have this saved for just financial planning, but also there is magic that can happen when you aren't tied or a slave to your job necessarily, where there could be some like freedom, creative freedom that you don't even realize by planning this and having this kind of cushion, not only for a rainy day, but maybe for something you want to do later down. This is super helpful. Now, when I think about, you said emergency fund, and we're talking about having this cushion of 3 to 6 months for there's sinking fund, emergency fund. Now, if we're just planning for our child's future, like our education, like having twins, I always tell people, you don't need to buy two of these like new toys that they're going to be like a Dakota or a Snoo. You don't need to buy necessarily two of that. You will have to buy two college tuitions. You will have to buy two activities. These are things that will actually, you will have to. So save your money for later. But like for someone like a twin parent who thinks about, I mean, we're in the activities now, you can see how expensive they get. but that wants to save for their child's future, should they be doing the same kind of formula? Or is there a time period or when you start putting away? Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm just curious.
So for me personally, I opened college savings accounts, so the 529B for my twins when they were born. And I also opened custodial accounts for them when they were born, right? So the 529B is specifically that account that's dedicated to save for college. And I picked a 529B with a state where my twins can gift money to each other if they decide that if one just goes to more expensive school.
Oh, yeah.
They can gift each other money. I think a lot of 529B plans have that option, but you just want to read the fine print. Not all of them do.
Yeah.
They can gift each other money. And if one decides not to go to college, they can gift their sibling the, not that I, that's be an option, but it's just,
I mean, yeah,
option the plan, right? They can give their siblings the money in there. I also open custodial accounts, which they get ownership of when they turn 18, either 18 or 21. I don't remember the type of account I have. So I did that when they were born. And my husband and I, we contribute money into those accounts periodically for them. So I think that's important if you can afford to, but I will say that don't feel obligated to do that, right? As Black women, children, I mean, it is great for us to have that, to do that to our kids as Black mothers, as Black parents. That's amazing. But a lot of us, we don't have that, right? And we kind of figure it out. And I think that if you are able to, if you're in a space where you're trying to figure out your finances, you're trying to pay off massive amounts of debt, prioritize that first, because what you don't have that your child has is time.
Mm.
And what you can do to position your child for success outside of giving them money is teaching them the value of money and giving them financial education so that even if you don't have a penny to hand them, they can build wealth, they can create generational wealth because you've given them the resources. There are so many children that you hear about, you read about, that their parents give them millions and millions, estates and everything, and that money does not go past their lifetime, does not go past the few years, the first few years they receive that inheritance. And so don't feel bad or overwhelmed or pressure if you cannot do this for your child yet. Obviously, it is great to help your child avoid student loans, to help your child minimize the burden of debt, but your child still has opportunity of time, and they have no ceiling if you can empower them with knowledge, with financial education, with teaching them the value of money. And just because you are working through your own finances right now, you're on your journey to financial wellness, does not mean that you're not in a position to teach your child about money. You can take them on that journey. Mommy's to pay off debt. This is what I'm doing every month. This is how I'm managing the grocery budget. This is how I'm planning for our next vacation. This is how I'm trying to save. This is how I'm trying to build my emergency fund. This is a book I'm reading. Let's talk about budgeting. Talk about saving. Talk about investing. There's so many resources for kids out there as well. So there are many ways to think about it. But if you can save for your child, absolutely do it. I'm doing it because I want to leave a legacy for my children. But I also don't want to leave this legacy and all this I've built. And when I'm gone, my child squanders it. Then what would have been the point of that?
I love that you were naming that too. And I saw your interview, which is, you guys should go back and watch it, with Kelly and Mark on the live TV show, just talking about how we talk with our children about money. And it is something that I never really talked with my parents about. Like, I knew I was very aware of it. Like, I was aware when we had it or when we didn't, or, you know, I knew it was of value, but in terms of saving, or when I opened up my first account or my first credit card, or just understanding things about money, I didn't have those conversations. So I love how you're name, you can take your children on this journey. How soon, if parents want to start talking to their kids about money, what are some, when could they start? And what does that look like?
You can start with them when they're, once they start to learn how to do math in school, like basic math, I think that's in kindergarten, you can start having that conversation. Like, I used to do the game of what can your dollar buy you with my kids? Because they would get my kids used to get a dollar pocket money every 2 weeks. It was more of an exercise, like 5 years
right.
old. And so the default is to take your $1 and buy candy. So my daughter is a spender. She would buy candy and the money is gone for 2 weeks. My son would save his dollar. And at the end of like 7 years, he would have
that. It's hilarious. Wait, which one's twin B and which one's twin A? Now I'm curious. Is the daughter twin B or twin A?
So my daughter used to be twin A. She used to be.
Girl, what do you?
Let me explain.
What do you mean? Girl.
So
what are you talking about? In the belly,
she was originally baby A, but she just couldn't sit still. She just wouldn't sit still. She was always rolling around, moving around, like dancing. I remember my first, because my pregnancy was very high risk. I had this early ultrasound and they're like little fetuses.
Yeah.
And you see my son, they give me a video of it. I have a video of it. He's still. And you see my daughter, she's like shaking. So she was originally baby A and she just For the first 6 months, she would roll around and roll around and roll around. And one day she just rolled around and he just slipped into position and he became the new baby A.
That is hilarious. You know what? And that's twin. She was giving twin B energy even though she was in the wrong part of the line. Yeah, she became a twin B.
She became
B's be like that.
So she's a spender and he would save all his dollars. After about 7 years, he would have $10.
They're in their true form. So, that gives you twin. That's like how my twins are. That is hilarious.
So I used him to teach her a lesson. Well, if only you had saved your money.
Yeah, right. There you go.
You'd have $10 to buy the toy.
That's so true. So you could start. I love that.
I'm also introducing them to brands that they like. So your kids will start to recognize brands. So I started teaching them things about being an owner of a company. I think I have a podcast episode where I have them on. It's fairly old. And my son used to love sneakers and he loved Nike. And so I would teach him, well, you can have the sneakers, but you can also be an owner. How do I become an owner? You buy shares in the company. And it's just little tiny lessons you break down for them in a way that helps them understand. It's going to be complex.
Right.
It's about ownership. So he will tell you when he was like 6, I have Nike sneakers, but I also own Nike. I'm like, yes, great, sure. You own Nike.
You better manifest that. I'm here for it. Call that into existence. Okay. I love that. Now, do your kids have their own accounts now?
Yes.
Okay. When did you do 11?
We have the custodial accounts, which we keep aside. Yeah. But now I signed them up for something called Greenlight, which I like. And you can sign them up for, you can open it. I don't know what the age you can go to, like a traditional bank account, but Greenlight lets you manage it. It gives them little debit cards. You can lock and unlock it. You can transfer them pocket money. You can give them money for chores. I'm not big on paying my kids for chores because I'm like, you live in this house as a privilege.
I'm not paying you to make your bed.
Yeah, exactly. The house you live for free. Okay. No.
But yes. I'm so worried, girl.
You are eating free food. You should take out the trash. That is your job for the free food I give you. But anyway, not to digress, it lets you give them money when they do their chores, lets you transfer money, lets you invest with them. It has lessons. So I like Greenlight, not sponsored, by the way. So they have their own accounts, they have their own debit cards. And so, they have their own accounts right now. And I think it's a great idea because it lets them, because once your money is gone, it's gone.
I love it. It's done.
Card declined.
And they can see it.
I let them go to
the card declined,
Because I know I can see how much they have in their accounts, but in their mind, the card is just going to swipe through and go through. And so I let it get declined so they can have that experience of, hey, no money here. You spent all your money.
Everybody remembers like that first time when you get the card declined. Like I think I was in college probably and I was trying to get something and there was insufficient funds. And I was like, dang. And I remember like never wanting that feeling again. And making sure I did all of my power to not have that happen again. So it's, I think, very powerful to have your kids feel that or know what that's like to not have money when they're younger. Cause I didn't really know that feeling because my parents just kind of always provide it. So I think that that's brilliant. Is there anything else that you would say for parents who want to talk to their kids? Like maybe there's games they could play or books they could read. I know me and my son play Monopoly. We've done that since a young age.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a way to have conversations there, but are there any other tools you would say for parents to talk with their kids about money?
Yeah, I think there's a ton of books. There's so many books for kids, especially on investing. I mean, there's a lot on Amazon. I love the American Girl series on saving money and investing. There are a couple books there that are pretty good.
Then
there's like the boy equivalents there as well that you can find. So there are some good books. And there is Monopoly. There's a few other money games. There's like money coloring books online on Amazon as well that you can check out. But I think even if you don't use a book or a toy or a game, just having conversations with them about money, like asking them what they think something is and explaining, clarifying, correcting if necessary is very important. And just letting them see you in practice, like taking your kids to work. One of the things I do, like, especially if you don't want to spend any extra money to teach your kids about money.
Right.
One of the things that I do is when I go to the grocery store, I typically online shop. But when I do go to the grocery store and I have my kids with me, I say, okay, listen, we have this amount of money. We have $100. We have $50. And we have this list. How many of these things can we fit into this budget? And if we can't, what are we going to drop off? What is not as important for us to buy today? Based on what we want to cook for dinner, what we want to make for lunch, whatever it is. So that's a good way to just engage your kids. And it's fun because you get to run around the grocery store and get on everybody's nerves.
Well, taking twins to the grocery store. I'm waiting for the time where I'm like, it's fun. You know what I mean? It hasn't been fun yet. I love that, girl. I feel like I need that. I need you to take me grocery shopping.
No, I'm the worst. My kids go to the grocery store to keep me accountable. I'm that mom that goes to the grocery store and buys all those new test foods that nobody wants to eat, wasting my money.
Because I thought it looked good. Girl, I can't go to the grocery store hungry. That is one thing I've learned about myself. I got to eat and then go, because otherwise I'll be coming home with all sorts of things. Okay, I had a couple. I pulled my followers just to ask for a couple of questions that they might have. We've spoke about a lot of them. Like, someone was asking about saving for college, when they need to pay rent, and what that looks like. We talked a little bit about that. But another person had specific questions. They're pregnant with twins. And there's so many different, I'm even learning now, girl, like, things you can do with your kids as far as like what accounts to set up. Is it an IRA? Is it a 529B? Is it like, is there some that if you, let's say you're minimalist, not minimalist, but like, where do you start, or what would be your top like accounts to look for when you're setting up something for your kids if you can't do all of the above? Or which ones do you think are most important to look into for parents?
I would say a college savings account is a good idea, just because of the cost of college and because over time it has just continued to rise. That's a good one. And then a custodial account, where you can just put money that you invest on their behalf, knowing that a custodial account, like, you don't get that money back. That is their money when they turn 18 or 21. Like, it goes to them. You don't take it back.
Yeah, you don't get exactly. Is that the same as an IRA, girl? I don't even know. Like,
an IRA, that's a retirement vehicle. It's basically saving. That's also going to be in the child's name. So that's going to be their money, but you're contributing to your account for them, but it's going to be their money. So you can open up a Roth IRA for kids. But that's something you're talking also open up when they turn 18, but you can open up one for a minor as well. Okay. But I would say don't get too caught up in
all that.
Like, that's why I get a total account. Those are good.
Okay. Start Roth IRA. Okay, because I was curious about that as well, because there's just so many things I think we learn, like even when like tax season, when that comes up, there's just so many things that people do that I just don't know. I'm learning, right? Especially when it comes to
those are three good options. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And then someone asked about an emergency fund, which we very much got into. And then I think like people want to know where, as a twin parent or someone starting out with young kids, you have so many books, y'all. This woman has so many best-selling novels and so many different resources that you've created. Is there one place that someone should start if they're a parent specifically? Or what would you say would be one of the biggest resources or chapters in one of your books that someone could start with?
I think it would be my first book, Clever Girl Finance, The Debt, Save Money, and Build Your Wealth. That's like foundational, covers all the concepts. And I do make many references to your finances if you have children in there.
Yeah.
That's a great place to start, because that's like the foundational book. It talks about like getting your mindset right. It talks about budgeting, of saving, investing, side hustling. And then the second book, which is Grow Your Money, is about investing, focus solely on like investing. Like, okay, now we've gone the foundations, right? Now it's time to grow our money and put our money to work for us. And that's through investing. And the third book is about side hustles. And this is a focus on, okay, how do I earn more? How do I increase my income? How do I get more money? My fourth book, what is my fourth book?
I'm going to go back and look at the notes. See, everybody knows you're just a goat, right? You're at the goat dad. He's like, what was my fourth book, by the way?
Okay, my fourth book is Choosing to Prosper. Yes, that's my fourth book. And that's just my own personal growth story.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Building my business, my childhood, my college days, my career, how I got my financial journey. And then the fifth book is what is coming out in November
13th. Yes. I'm excited.
The fifth book is, two books, the updated version of my first book and my fifth book, which is my very first workbook. So the workbook is basically a good place to just sit down and go through everything, like your mindset, like how you were raised, your money. Why do you think this way about money? Let's talk about laying out a budget. Who is influencing you when it comes to your money? How do we adjust from here? Talk about investing. Where do you want to invest? Talk about business. So the workbook covers everything in my previous books. Yes. And you can use it as a standalone or as a companion to the other books.
I was able to get an early copy of the workbook, and I've already printed it out. I'm like going over with my husband. It's been fabulous, girl. I love it. I love it. So definitely, definitely highly recommend. Is there anything that we've like not talked about today that you think that some of our listeners, or any advice you'd want to give that we haven't discussed yet?
Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, like financial foundations are what they are. You can learn them. You can work on them consistently, as long as you set the intention. But I think it's really important to embrace having an abundant mindset.
Yes.
And a mindset of success. I think especially in our demographic, as minorities, as Black women, there's a lot of burden placed upon us by virtue of our gender, by virtue of our history, by virtue of what is expected from us in society. And as a result, there's a lot of what we feel we can't do because sometimes the ask is so much. It's, mm-hmm. it's very, can be very heavy. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You feel it in all 100%. Aspects of your life. It's the ask is a lot of a Black woman, right?
Yes.
In every aspect of your life. Everything. And sometimes we start to feel like I just can't do it. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. And so I encourage anyone listening to start thinking abundantly. You have what it takes to succeed. There's enough room here for all of us to succeed. Mm-hmm. You have been succeeding in the way that you know how. And now it's time to take it up a notch with an intentional strategy around your finances, around how you're raising your children, around what you're teaching your children. And so that's the other thing I would like to say.
Yeah. No, y'all, girl, there was a recent episode on your podcast. You talked about the positive mindset when it comes to finances and an abundant mindset. And it is so important. I know it sounds like, well, like just the scarcity mindset it can affect you, right? Like it's not saying don't go out and just be reckless, just saying, oh, I'm just going to think I have $1 billion to spend like that. But understanding that there is so abundance is yours. There are so many things that you can call into. If I really believe in manifestation, I think I manifested my twins, girl. Like I would always joke, we were told we couldn't have any more kids after my first.
Oh, wow.
And I would always joke that I would be like, oh, if I ever had more kids, if I did, I'd just pull a Beyonce and have twins. And we told we couldn't. And then we got pregnant with twins. I know I called that in, and it's just interesting. I know this can sound depending on what you believe, but words have power. Your mind has power. Yeah. And then it's a muscle, just like anything else. You train your arm. If you want to get stronger, you also need to train your mind. So I just love that you're naming that, because I think it's a piece that is so important. Bola, you have been a pleasure, girl. Where can people find and follow you along?
Yes, you can find me on my website, clevergirlfinance.com. You can follow us on Instagram at clevergirlfinance, on YouTube, clevergirlfinance. We would love to have you.
Yes,
check out books that have coming out November 14th, everywhere you purchase your books.
Yes, and I will make sure that this will be airing after her book date is released on November 13th. So you all will be able to find the link in the show notes, but definitely check out all these things, y'all. It's something that money is tight right now. People are feeling it. It's just time to make a strategy. If you're coming here, you're pregnant, you don't have one, start with some of Bola's books. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. So thank you again, sis. Thank you for being here. This has been another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. Peace.
Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries.